The Owens Art Gallery had a special guest on Tuesday evening. Gwen Manthey is a paintings conservator with the Smithsonian American Art Museum in Washington, D.C. Manthey made the long journey to Sackville along with a series of paintings that will be on display starting Friday at the Owens as part of the show Hidden Blackness, featuring the paintings of Edward Mitchell Bannister, a 19th century African-American and Canadian painter. On Tuesday, Manthey presented to a small crowd gathered at the Owens to talk about her work caring for and restoring paintings, and in particular, what she found as she looked at the works of Edward Mitchell Bannister. Hidden Blackness is the first major exhibition of Bannister's work ever presented in Canada, 124 years after his death. CHMA spoke to Manthey on Tuesday night and started off asking the Smithsonian conservator about how she came to care for Bannister's paintings.
We got a lot of works in there through a massive gift, and I became familiar with them because they were regularly used for government loans. That's another loan that we fulfill to federal office buildings in D.C., as well as traveling exhibitions. So a number of these had been prepared for loan, were not chosen, and there was the one work in the gallery. And because those works were not chosen, I was, you know, also had never heard of the artist, I started to look him up. And that's where rabbit holes are formed, if you are somebody that likes to learn. Because he is a fascinating character, and that's why his works are on display here, too. It's simply access and being cognizant and aware of the things that are around you. Anyone who's interested in their profession, there's going to be something that fascinates them that they hadn't heard of. So that's how I came to know Bannister, as well as being introduced to him from other interested scholars. But because I'm entrusted with the care of the collection, I got to spend a bit more time looking than they did.
And tell me a bit about him. He was, in addition to, you clearly have a love of his work, but he's also, he's also a very interesting person and, was an activist, a community, an upstanding citizen in his community. Tell me a bit about his life.
So what we know is mostly third party, what other people have written about him, as well as receipts, documents, and newspaper articles. After leaving New Brunswick when his family died, he moved to Boston with his older brother, William. Other scholars have told us that he was a longshoreman and he was apprenticed to cobbler. These are all very tactile, manual labor jobs. But he gets to Boston where there is a really active abolitionist community. And at least, I believe the number was, and I need to double check that again, up to 40% of free blacks in Boston were barbers. And so he's taking, his ability to work with his hands and taking that into a career that will use the skills that he has, but also introduce him to a vast network of people. Free self-emancipators, other potential artisans, abolitionists, social justice warriors, but then also potential clients, and wealthy white people too. I believe I mentioned in the talk, there's a book where most black barbers were actually, their clients were white men. And so you've got this interesting duality of a black man holding a knife to a white man's throat. And how can you get to that point? And that's through developing trust and rapport and conversation. So that's one of his jobs. And then from there, he goes to photographer. And he starts painting these photographs as well. The democratization of the image, a low-cost way of getting your visage. And especially for people who were volunteering to go off to war, that memento is going to be very important. And how do you make something like that even special? Well, you can paint it if you can't afford the gold to put around the case. I believe that he would have fought for the 54th or volunteered in some capacity. This is my own hypothesis. But he had a weak heart, and that might have been from being exposed to photographic chemicals. But he became an artist, and he threw all of his energy into caring for others.
Bannister, do we know if he was a painter in his youth before he left New Brunswick?
Yes.
And so would any of these, would we have paintings that date from that time? Do you know at all?
Well, we know the watercolors that are going to be on display And I don't have the provenance on that, but Emily does. These are works that he could have, these are watercolors he could have made while he's here in New Brunswick. We have, you know, it's the established tradition to become an artist by starting to copy known works. And when you don't have a museum available, you can look to the printed image. Newspapers were probably the most accessible. And so even works of art, when they're reprinted, can be reproduced. As I understand, the Owens Art Gallery itself had a really rich watercolor training program here. And so I would love to do more research in the area to see what works in this collection were actually extant and in the areas where Bannister was working. And there is a piece in the Smithsonian American Art Collection known as Dorchester. And I believe it was painted in the 1850s, or that's the date. I have not had my hands on the artwork with enough time to understand why it was called Dorchester, but it could have been misnamed with the assumption that it was from the Massachusetts Boston area and overlooking the Dorchester area near here in Sackville. So it will take some digging in his historic photographs, as well as what are the landmarks available, where are there houses on this rise next to the sea that would have been possible for Bannister to paint in the area. So it is possible, it just takes time, and time is the one resource that you can't create necessarily. Mm-hmm. So getting other people interested in the project too, or I shouldn't say the project, but just interested in Bannister to help understand and contextualize these paintings is key.
Give me the sales pitch for locals in Sackville. Why they should definitely come to the Owens to check out this exhibition.
One of the interesting things about Bannister is you can come from it from many lens points beyond the art. You've got the racial and social politics. You've got the progression of technology and image making throughout his life. You've got the nuanced understanding of what it takes to be a salesperson as well in Bannister. There are many different stories that can be told from individual artworks, be it the hidden composition, the visible composition, what these landscapes mean to the area, but as well as I had mentioned, you know, what brought Bannister's family here, the history of mining, logging, resources from the sea, too, and finding those links to the paintings themselves. It's possible for anyone from any background to find something of themselves and some interest in these artworks. And actually, something that I forgot to mention as I started my quote, so I'm happy to repeat it here. I attended something recently where Anthony Blinken, the former United States Secretary of State, commented that, and I do not want to misquote this, Anthony Blinken said that art encourages us to test our humanity and to connect with others. Yeah, exactly. So you can use art as that vehicle for conversation, that object-based therapy to start a bigger discussion about what individual priorities are, and even use that landscape to understand how your own personal landscape has changed and whose priorities made it change.
That's Gwen Manthey, a paintings conservator with the Smithsonian American Art Museum in Washington, D.C., who is in Sackville this week, along with paintings for a show opening this Friday at the Owens. Hidden Blackness features the works of Edward Mitchell Bannister, a Black artist born in St. Andrews, New Brunswick, who spent most of his adult life in Providence, Rhode Island, where he was also a prominent abolitionist and philanthropist. Hidden Blackness opens this Friday with a vernissage scheduled for 7 p.m. at the Owens Art Gallery.
This is Erica Butler reporting for CHMA Sackville and the Local Journalism Initiative.